God did something really neat tonight already for some people. And I don't know if we really appreciate what he's done. But for some individuals, he's done something. Now, Angela, I can't believe your face. I watched your face as the Lord touched you. My God, that would have been worth admission just to watch God touch her. What a tremendous, tremendous thing. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 138. I read this today. We read Psalm 139 a lot. That's the psalm that said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's the psalm that says, I can go nowhere except you're there. If I go to the highest heavens, you're there. If I go to the lowest parts of the earth, you're still there. I can't get away from God. And I happened to be reading that when I was done. I turned back and I saw Psalm 138 and I read it this afternoon. And I'd just like to share a couple of thoughts that I had. A Psalm of David. I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name. For your love and for your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord. When they hear the words of your mouth, may they sing of the ways of the Lord. For the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly. But the proud, he knows them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Father, let us walk in the power of these words tonight. Lord, you wrote these words through David, and you wrote them for a reason. So that we would read and we would learn, and we would learn and we would obey, and we would obey and we would rejoice because of what it is that you're doing on this earth for your chosen people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise and worship. We talked a little bit about this a week or so ago, about the importance of praise, the importance of worship, the importance of taking time to stop and give back to God that which is His. That we stop and we give back to Him from our hearts the blessings that He deserves. You can't bless God. Yes, you can. One of the oldest facets of the Jewish faith is to bless God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. It means to give highest honor to. It means to give without expecting anything back. It just means to give. And we know what worship is. Worship is that time where it's just me and God. Just you and God. That's all it is. And I think that's what I saw tonight, Angela, in your face. A moment when God got so close that it just became a worship thing between Him and you. How important it is to give God the glory for what He does. I'm convinced in my few years of being a Christian, I am convinced that the reason why we don't receive more from God is we don't praise Him for what God has already given us. You only give a kid so much, You give your child so much, and then they get to expect it. You know what I mean? There comes a time when what we get, what they get is somewhat of maybe a reward or a blessing because of, or we love them because of what they do back for us. Now, I'm not saying that we do expect to be blessed. But I believe that if we took the time to thank God for what He's already given us, He would give us more. We suffer a spiritual poverty because we don't realize that every day God gives us every heartbeat. We don't realize that every breath that we take comes from God. Every time you move your finger or you move your foot, it's because God made a body that answers to the commands of the brain. This wonderful thing that David says in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This wonderful thing that I am is held together. It's operated by the will of Almighty God. The laws that He put into motion. And oh, we should praise Him. And oh, we should thank Him. And oh, we should praise Him. And oh, we should thank Him for the times that we have together. And for the times He meets with us in this wonderful thing that we call fellowship. He gets right in amongst us. And when you were kids, did you ever like your dad to play with you? Was it cool? I know, as a father, you suffer pain sometimes when you get down there with the kids and they know, you know, dad's now, and it's like, well, we'll get even with him, but he won't even know that we're doing, and they pound on you and beat on you and do all of those kinds of things and stuff, and they're just having a riot of a time. God is like that. I believe that God wants to get into the midst of His people, to rejoice with them as they rejoice. To smile when we praise and we say, thank you, Father. And when we come to that place of worship, God takes His eyes off of everything else and focuses on us. I don't know how many Christians there are on this earth. I know there's quite a few. And I don't know how many Spirit-filled Christians there are on this earth, but I know there's a few. I don't know how many people that are so in tune with the Holy Spirit that all they want to do is they can lock in and suddenly God's in their presence. I don't know how many there are, but when they're like that, God is focused on them. Tonight when people came for healing and John prayed, God was focused on that place right there. All this earth belongs to Him, the glory thereof, but right there is where He was focused. Because we were honoring Him. You are honoring Him when you come and you say to Him, Lord, I got nobody else to go to. I'm coming to You. Or you're saying, Lord, before I go anywhere else, I'm coming to You. Or you say, Lord, I ain't going no other place. I'm coming to You. And God gets focused. No wonder David says, With these words, I will praise You, O Lord, with all my heart. He says, before the gods, I will sing Your praise. Let me just touch on that for a moment. David, I don't know if your Bible has. My Bible has the little gods, and they have it in quotation marks. What David is doing, he's being kind of catty about this. He's being sarcastic about these little gods. He knows there's no other God but Jehovah. He knows there is no other God but the God that anointed him and strengthened him and gave him his success and all. He knows about that. But there are other people who have all of these gods. Somebody, we kind of laughed this morning about the Buddhist flags. I don't know who we're kind of joking about that. But you drive around town, have you seen how many Buddhist flags there are up there? Have you seen, you've gone to Walmart and seen the Buddhist monks as they shop in Walmart? Have you seen the Buddhas out in the front yards? Now, I don't know if they believe in them, but they're there. There's a reason that they're there. I don't think it's because people like statues of little fat men in their front yard. I'd rather have one of them gnomes, those little red-headed guys. Or maybe three or four pink... What do they call them things, those long-legged birds? Is Bridget still into Pink Flamingos? She'll never give up on that. Wait, Chris. Just wait. But there are so many other gods out there. There are gods that are wrapped up in a pine tree up on Mount Methodist. There are gods that are in people's minds. They sit around and they talk about all the wonderful things that humans did. But David said, I will sing your praise in the midst of all these little gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple. I will praise your name. Here's why. For your love and for your faithfulness. And then listen to what he says. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. That nailed me when I read that. I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. Why his love and his faithfulness to me? This is the reason. Because you've exalted above all things your name and your word. His word is why he's a faithful God. His word is the reason why we do what we do and what happens. It's his word. I touched on it this morning for a while, and I wish we could spend more time with this. This idea that if God said it, will he not do it? We are caught up in religion sometimes. We are caught up in denominationalism. And because I'm of this denomination, then I can't believe that part of God's word. But he's put his name and his word above all things. When he put his name above all things, when he says anything in his name, he will do it. The writer of Hebrews said that when God made a covenant with Abraham, because he could speak by no other authority, there was no one higher, he made the covenant in his own name. What we hold in our hands, what we hold dear in our hearts, is a covenant that God has made with you and I. So what he says, he'll do. Take this. I don't want you to forget this, because I think it's important in the world that we live in today. God cannot do everything. We get in that stupid argument about, if God's all-powerful, can he make a rock so big he can't lift it? That's silly. You need to tell those people right then and right there, there are some things that God can't do. There are some things he doesn't need to do. What in the world does he need to make a rock so big he can't lift it? What purpose on earth does that have? There's no reason for that argument. It doesn't hold any water. But there are things that God cannot do. And the one that he cannot do, he cannot lie. He cannot lie. So he holds above all things his word. And when he says in his word, he means what he says. If it's not God, if God is just putting things in there and saying, no, that was for 30 years ago. You don't believe that anymore. Now I've got something up here. This is what you're supposed to believe for this week. Or that's what you believe for next month. No, if it's there, believe it. Something that I'm setting for myself, and this is just for myself. But I would encourage you to look into the same thing, to come to the place that you make the decision that what God says, that is my reason for action. If God does not say it, I'm not going to believe it. If God spoke against it, you cannot convince me that it's right. Because in the last days, men will come and they will call good evil and evil good. If God has said something, I believe it. Somebody said, that settles it. above all things. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold, and you made me stout-hearted. Why Pentecost? Why Pentecost? Because David, even in these words that he's writing right here, is prophesying something. That following what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, if there was one thing that happened, those men became bold and stout-hearted. In the world that which we live today, with all the isms and all the philosophies and all the garbages out there, if there's anything that the Christian church needs and the world needs to hear, are men who are bold and stout-hearted. We talked about this last night in our Saturday night service, and it is so incredibly important. The world needs to know that these people have been with Jesus. When John and Peter stood before the Sanhedrin, when they stood before the high priest, they spoke to them. They got together and they said, these men are nothing but fishermen. These men have no education to them. It says, but they took note. They had been with Jesus. When Pentecost came, one of those men that they're talking about, when Jesus died, he was off hid someplace. He ran and denied him. But something happened on the day of Pentecost. He became bold and he became stout-hearted and he became what the scripture says, a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the very uttermost parts of the world. That's what God does. And when I read that, then I know what he means. I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Because what you did, you're going to do again. What you did back then, you will continue into this day. If they wanted it and they needed it back then to confront the Romans and their pantheistic religions and many, many gods, don't you think that we need it now? Yes, yes, and again I say yes. We need that touch of the Holy Spirit one more time. A personal Pentecost. Sister Jody last night had some questions about that. And the thing that's important is why it's important to have questions like that. Is she wants to be something on this earth that is God anointed. Her desire is to walk on this earth like a child of the King. When she runs into situations that can only be happened, it can only be solved supernaturally. God, use me to do it. There are many things that are supernatural. I've been doing a study of the gifts of the Spirit recently. And the one thing I've come to realize, they are all supernatural. When I've got the gift of prophecy, I'm talking about things that no one can know except God reveal it to him. When we talk about healings, we're not talking anything but things that absolutely have got to come supernaturally. So when you get that report tomorrow, that's going to be a supernatural thing. It was, and now it's not. I sat on a rock one time at Terry Isle Reservoir for over a day, crying out to God for my wife. We found a lump in her neck, in her thyroid. The doctors hadn't looked for it, and she come home, and some of the results were kind of cockeyed, and I felt around in her neck, and I felt this lump right here. I called the guys in nuclear medicine, and I asked them if they could get my wife in the next day for a nuclear medicine study and ultrasound, and the report came back, it's solid, and it's cold. That is two of the worst things. A solid, cold lump in your neck has a very, very high probability of being cancer. So we went that weekend to Terrell just to get away. We were camping. She was down in the camper. I was up on the rock. And I cried out to God, God, will you heal my wife? Please heal my wife. God, whatever you're going to do, heal my wife. And these things, and I was sounding like a little girl. Make it go away, Daddy, make it go away. Monday morning on the way to work, I was driving down Academy Boulevard, And just as about you're ready to make the turn, the Spirit of the Lord hit me, and there was a boldness that rose up on the inside of me, and I declare it, by His stripes she is healed. I will never forget it as long as I live. God gave to me Isaiah in chapter 40, 10. He says, I will hold you up by my righteous right hand. I knew at that moment my wife was healed. They sent her to the doctor, and the doctor says, we got to work on that. It was still there. He says, well, we got to take that out. We got to look. They took her in and they did the operation. The doctor came out and he said, it's a cold nodule, but there's nothing there. It's just a cold nodule. That's all it is. But we're going to take it out anyway, and we just think that we ought to take her whole thyroid out. Just, and I said, sure, whatever you think. But God, in that moment, had healed my wife. I knew that He had done it because He holds His word even with His name. And that day on Academy Boulevard, He gave me a promise, and He held that promise. That was a supernatural thing. The doctors could not do that. Only God could. God is the God of everything supernatural. I had to talk to somebody today, and I had to tell them I believe in doctors. I did it for a few, well, I wasn't a doctor, but I practiced medicine for a few years. And I do know that God has blessed us with knowledge, and He's blessed us with things that we have worked by the laws of the nature that God gave to us. And we are able at that time to do things, and doctors have their place. But don't ever think that God ever just wants to use doctors. He wants to step right in the middle of the medical mess and fix it. Suzanne sits here. You probably know his story. Brain tumor. Who healed it? God. God. Young warrant officer came to me one morning. And we were going over his labs. He was getting ready to have some foot surgery, and we were going through his labs. He was I won't say that he was kind of a hypochondriac, but he wanted to know about all his labs. And we were sitting there, went through his labs, kind of gave him the blessing, said, everything is just fine. Goest thou and have thine surgery, and you'll be just fine. And he says, oh, by the way, he says, the funniest thing happened to me on Sunday. I said, what happened? He says, all of a sudden, I smelled fresh bread. He said it was just, I was sitting there in my chair, and I was reading the paper, and he said, I could smell fresh bread. And I asked him, I said, was Debbie making bread? He says, no. He says, I went out to see if she was, and she wasn't even in the kitchen, but I could smell fresh bread. What do you think that is? And I told him, I said, brother, until somebody tells me different, I believe that's a brain tumor. And we sent him from my place over to Elmendorf, and they did a CAT scan on him, and sure enough, he had a Golf-size ball tumor in between the halves of his brain. He came back, and he says, they're going to have to operate. And I told him, I says, Keith, I says, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. And we prayed, and he went over to have that surgery. And he came back in, and I says, well, how? He still had all his hair, nothing was shaved. I said, Keith, what happened? He says, well, I went over there, and they got ready to do the surgery, and they did one more MRI so they could know exactly where it was at and map the area it was around. He says, they noticed it was smaller. So they're going to wait for a while to see if it's going to shrink. Inside of 6 months, Keith came back. The tumor was gone. I believe that it was God that took that tumor, tore it away, because He is a supernatural God. He is above everything. That should be enough to make you bold and stout-hearted. Lord, don't heal somebody and expect that all you're going to get out of them is a little timid, you know, pipsqueak, ain't going to say nothing. When God does something like that, you let the world know about it, what He's done. Amen. Though the Lord is on high, I'm looking at verse 6, though the Lord is on high, He looks upon the lowly. But the proud He knows from afar. I want you to start now in just a few minutes. I want you to find the book of Hosea. The way you find Hosea is you pick up the pages and you start flipping until all of a sudden you see Hosea pop up in front of you. It's in a bunch of those little bitty books in the Old Testament. Hosea the prophet. Weird book. Hosea, I want you to go out and marry a prostitute. I want you to listen or look about this thing, that what kind of God we serve. This was part of my Bible studies last week, or by my Bible reading, and it just absolutely floored me when I read it. Chapter 11. He said, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more I called Israel, the farther they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals and they burned incense to images. God, through this entire book, is demonstrating through Hosea and through this harlot wife of his how the Israelite people were treating him. And he was bringing punishment on them through the Assyrians. And he's prophesying through Hosea, this is what's going to happen. But God, at that point, he's a far, far off. Israel has sinned against him, and he's a far, far off. He doesn't want anything to do with these folks. In fact, he tells them a whole lot of what I don't want to do, but I am going to do it. But I want you to listen to these words. When he said he's near to people. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. Dads, can you remember helping your child take their first steps? You remember when they would hold up their arms and you would walk them around, and then one point in time, you turn loose and away they went. And they've been going ever since. In all of the anger that God has toward these people, he remembers and he makes these kinds of statements. I taught you to walk. I called you out of Egypt. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and I bent down to feed them. Then his anger rages up again. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates and put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me. Even if they call to the Most High, he will by no means exalt them. And then he says, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not a man. I, the Holy One among you, I will not come in wrath. No wonder David wants to praise him. No wonder God, he wants to worship this God who seems to be sometimes so far off, but even from afar off, he sees the righteous. And he loves them. And he hangs close to them. And he gives them. And does for them. He looks upon the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar off. God's name and his word is above all things. God's name is Jehovah. Jehovah Shalom. His name is love. Even in the times of our greatest rebellions, God still reaches out to us. Even in the times of our worst running away, God reaches out to us. He's the one that taught you and I how to walk. It wasn't a church. It wasn't a pastor. They were being used. God was teaching you how to walk so that one day you would be able to run. So that one day you'd be able to run and take the message with you. That's our Father God. No wonder David praises Him. No wonder David worships Him. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, You preserve my life. You stretch out Your hand against the anger of my foes. With Your right hand, You save me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of Your hands. This is David, the great psalmist, the last words that he writes. Do not forsake, do not abandon the works of Your hands. If you could speak to David right now, what would be your answer? I hope it's something like, he won't. David, he ain't going to do it. Why? Because He's the God that looks from afar and He loves the lowly. He's the God that teaches us how to walk and how to run. He is the God that takes us in His hands and puts us close to His heart. He's the God that stands there and says, how can I forget You? If I can forget You, I can forget the skill in my right hand. He will never, ever do it. He'll never, ever forget you where you are. Right where you are. Right now. Right where you're at right now. He's right there with you. He knows what's going on right now. Lord, no wonder we should praise You. No wonder our words should be words that glorify Your name. Every moment of every day, Lord, we should be cognizant of the wonderful things that You're doing. We prayed for my mother-in-law this morning. She was so sick last night, I truly thought it's Mom's last night on earth. I really thought it was. This afternoon, she's up, she's dressed, she's pushing her cart around, looking for water, looking for something to eat. God, You're awesome. You're absolutely awesome. I know that she's a step closer, but I know that the last days are better than they were yesterday, that God will raise her up. How good is our God? Father, I just worship You tonight. I thank You for who You are. Lord, in the quiet moments of this night, Lord, we would cry out to You. And Lord, we don't have to cry and shout and be loud. We simply have to say, Jesus. And You are there as close as our lips. You're not hard of hearing that we have to shout. You know in our hearts what we need before we do. But still You want to hear from us. I look back on this day from the time my alarm clock went off and I was able to get up and turn it off and get up and start my day. My legs worked. My heart was still beating. And it's all because of Your goodness. We were able to praise You and to worship You, to fellowship with one with another. So I praise You. The good things and the bad things of today, Lord God, when they're all evened out, You are greater than anything. And Lord, You have won the victory again and again and again for us. I thank you for the blessings of this week. And I thank you, Lord, for the sorrows of this week because it took me back to you. And you're always there. Always there. No matter what. Where you're a God that we can count on. Where you're a God that we can put our faith in. You're a God that has held your name and your word above all things. So when we call on the name of the Lord, it will always be true. Your name will always be the power that we need. When we read your word and we call on your word, we can do it with assurance and faith and knowing that you will make all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Father, what else could we ask for in this life? What else could we ask for than a perfect, all-powerful God who looks at us from afar off? He looks at us as the lowly, and your heart goes out to us. Sometimes, Lord, we stumble and we fall. You taught Israel to walk. Will you take us by the hands and help us to walk when we fall? Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Bless your wonderful name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and we offer it to you. And all God's people said amen and amen. The old song we sing, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. What a mighty God we serve. Your Father. Your Father. Amen. Let me ask you tonight, hearts and minds are all clear? Are you ready for the week? Are you ready? Amen. Sue's, boy, she's going. She's ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mark's going, we'll have to wait and see after the second cup of coffee in the morning. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.